Perk fans, they call them perk fans.
Okay. Good morning, we'll open the meeting. It's 1:30 PM, Wednesday, March 21st, 2012. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. For the record, and for anyone who's listening in, this is Tony Clark. While my fellow commissioners introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, Kevin Kramer, welcome.
Good afternoon, Brian Culk. I'm really excited today with a good chance to watch Commissioner Clark yesterday in front of the Senate Energy and Commerce Committee. And also, for the record, it's only 30 days till the Bison Green and Gold game as we prep for next season.
That's it. Thanks, everyone, for your indulgence in rescheduling this to 1:30. I had plane problems this morning in Washington, so I didn't get into town as early as I thought I would. But appreciate the rearranging of the schedule.
I would think that your new boss would have sent Air Force One.
It's an independent regulatory agency.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
There are items on consent.
I would move passage of the items in consent.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Moving to items in my portfolio. TC1, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order issuing certificate of site compatibility number 27 to Oliver Wind 3 LLC, authorizing construction of its proposed 48-megawatt Oliver 3 Wind Energy Center in Morton County, North Dakota, case number PU-11-561.
Second.
This is a proposed project in Morton County. The original project area consisted of about 25 square miles. At the public hearing, Oliver Wind 3 agreed to reduce that project area to exclude a portion on the western edge of that that siting app. The reason for it, there really weren't any turbines that were put in that area. Originally, they thought about it. So it's a little bit smaller profile than is originally submitted to the commission. Oliver Wind 3 has obtained the conditional use permit from Morton County for the Oliver Wind 3 Energy Center. Oliver Wind didn't have a firm date for commencing construction. They indicated that late 2012 or early 2013 were a possibility, and that was somewhat dependent on the status of the federal production tax credits and the market for electricity that would be generated. There is not currently a customer for Oliver Wind 3. The project has a generating capacity of 48 megawatts that consists of 31.6 megawatt wind turbines and associated facilities. The applicant indicated that they felt there might be net capacity factors of upwards of 50%, which is very good for a wind energy facility. Overall, the construction of the Oliver Wind 3 Energy Center is expected to take approximately 6 months when they do begin construction and has a total estimated cost of $81 million. The siting criteria, cultural resources, sound and flicker studies, wetlands, wildlife issues, mitigative measures, all of those seem to be pretty straightforward and were in order. So with that, I would recommend approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC2, I move the commission deem the application complete, conditioned on receiving final turbine locations 1 week prior to hearing, and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of Elite Clean Energy, Inc. for a certificate of site compatibility to construct a 100-megawatt Clean Energy No. 1 wind project in Mercer and Morton counties of North Dakota, case number PU-11-662.
Second.
This is just a notice of hearing. The commission will be hearing this particular case. The wind project consists of up to 100 megawatts of proposed wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Mercer and Morton counties. Public hearing has been scheduled to begin at 9 a.m. April 30th at the City Commission meeting room at the Mandan City Hall.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC3. I move the commission adopt the order granting certificate and issue Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5465 to Northern States Power Company, authorizing the construction and operation of a proposed 230 kV Peace Garden switching station and approximately 300 feet of 230 kV electric transmission line necessary to interconnect the Border Winds Energy Project in Rolett County, North Dakota, case number PU-12-39.
Second.
We talked about this just a little bit before when we had first teed it up as an opportunity. for hearing. This is the result of the potential for the Border Winds project. XL is the operator of the 230 KV Rugby to Glenboro transmission line, which is nearby, which would serve as the outlet for the Border Winds project if it does come to fruition. Because of the timetables associated with it, NSP felt that it would, if they're called upon to construct it, they needed to get the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity sooner rather than later, because there might be a time, a tight construction turnaround, and I don't know that we've received anything that would indicate that they yet will begin breaking ground immediately, but they'll have the certificate. Basically, NSP, through its obligations, is required to construct these sorts of facilities upon request. It would hook up the wind farm to the transmission line. Under the generator interconnection agreement that NSP has signed with Sequoia, who is the would be the operator of the Border Winds project, Sequoia would be paying for the transmission upgrade. It's about 300 feet long, 230 kV line, and the switching station, which would facilitate that wind farm if it does come together.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC 4, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and the application of Otter Tail Power Company for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct, own, and operate approximately 16 miles of 115 kV electric transmission line from Buffalo to Castleton in Cass County, North Dakota, case number PU-12-76.
Second.
On this case, any comments and requests for hearing must be received by April 25th, 2012.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that is the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kalk.
Good afternoon. Item BK1. I move the Commission adopt the finding of fact, conclusion of law, and order denying Missouri Valley Communication Inc.'s motion to dismiss Mid-Continent Communications petition for arbitration, case number PU-11-697.
Second.
We basically have a lot of projects in front of this commission on siting for power lines and pipelines. This is one of the first telephone we've had of this depth in a while. I'll kind of walk through some of the background. Basically, on June 14th of this year, Mid-Continent made a request of a facility-based interconnection for the Williston Exchange from Missouri Valley Communication. Mid-Continent specified that their interconnection request was for the purpose of exchanging local traffic under Section 251A of the Federal Communication Act. On July 6th of last year, Missouri Valley declined Mid-Continent's request, asserting that it was exempt from mandated interconnection based upon its rural exemption under 251A. Under 251A, I'm sorry. In November 14th of 2011, Mid-Continent filed with the Commission its petition for arbitration under a separate case, and Mid-Continent requested the Commission arbitrate open issues concerning the interconnection request. And then in November of 2011, Missouri Valley filed with the Commission a motion to dismiss Mid-Continent's petition for arbitration. So basically what today's motion does is that we're denying their request to stop this from moving forward. So what will happen is, based upon today's order, the arbitration will continue. A little background on this, a very similar request, but not identical, was put forward back in 2007. Mid-Continent requested an interconnection from Missouri Valley, that would terminate their rural exemption. Missouri Valley denied the request and basically said that the rural exemption was sufficient. It came in front of the commission. The commission upheld that the rural exemption was in place. It went to actually the U.S. District Court of Appeals, and the District Court of Appeals agreed with the commission, and that's where we're at. This current case is basically, the crutch of it is two things. Missouri Valley says that basically it's the same case, and that under the legal doctrine of res judicata that it's the same case, there's really no reason for it to go forward. Mid-Continent's position is a little bit different. It says that under the current 251A, it's different than what was tried under 251C. And the biggest thing that I guess that stood out to me is a couple things. Is one is the 251A and C are a little bit different on how they classify the point of interconnection, terms and conditions. And also in 2011, there was a ruling by the FCC which really clarified the rights and responsibilities under 251A. So based on those two big issues, for me, I felt that it was important that this case continue to an arbitrator, and then we'll just see how this all plays out. So with that, I'd recommend approval of this motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item BK2. I move the Commission adopt the order concerning Otter Tail Power Company's 2012 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Tariff, case number PU1224.
Second.
In December 29th of 2011, Otter Tail filed an application for approval of its 2012 Renewable Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor, also known as its Renewable Rider. In January of this year, the Commission issued a Notice of Opportunity for Hearing, which provided until March 7th for petitions to intervene and March 15th for written comments to also request a hearing. We received no request for hearing or intervention. The staff put together their position, and basically I would agree with the position. And it kind of lays out, this is the rider for the wind farms in Langdon, Ashtabula, and Laverne wind projects. Basically the same mechanism was used that we've always used. There was no new additional wind projects that were online. What it really comes down to is to look at the cost of to operate the wind farms based on all the other things in the formula. And it comes down to there will be a slight increase for the average customer of this next year of 4 cents per month. The a lot of the information in this is trade secret, but this wind farm, I think, is turning out to be a pretty good deal for customers. And I know in some of the previous rate cases we've talked about whether wind projects should be included in the base rates, but looking upon this case and others, I like the idea of a rider for wind projects. So with that, I'd also recommend approval of this motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item BK3. I move the Commission issue a Notice of Opportunity for Hearing in Otter Tail Power Company's applications for its Cost of Energy Adjustment Clause, case number PU12-99.
Second.
In March of 2012, Otter Tail filed a request for approval to include in its energy adjustment rider certain costs for purchase emissions allowances that may be necessary to comply with the cross air pollution rule issued by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency as it applies to Otter Tail's two fossil fuel generating plants located in Minnesota. The issue to be considered is whether a variance to North Dakota Administration Code should be granted to allow inclusion of the costs for purchased emissions allowances that may be necessary to apply with the cross air state pollution rule. Petitions to intervene must be received by May 13th of 2012, and comments and requests for hearing must be received by May 11th of this year.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I have a few, but the first one I think is one that probably many of the people in the room are here to celebrate, and that is KC1. I'd asked Scott to check with Guy about getting a couple of pictures, and I, knowing that Guy doesn't take a couple of pictures, he takes a couple thousand. I think he put up a few of them. But anyway, I just thought we'd create a little, you know, environment. KC1. And by the way, I might just state right up front that KC1 and KC2 are both related to the same mine, but we'll deal with KC1 first and use that as the opportunity to describe what's going on. I move the Commission approve bond release number 7 for surface coal mining permit BCGH8204 held by Basin Cooperative Services for the Glen Herald Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 2,378.8 acres of land located in portions of sections 13 and 14, T144N, R85W, and portions of sections 18, 21, 27, 30, 31, 32, and 33, T144N, R84W, Mercer County, and portions of sections 4, 5, and 9, T143N, R84W, Oliver County. The amount of the bond release is $4,617,060.92, and it will become effective April 20th, 2012, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
As the motion states, this is a significant amount of final bond release on the Glen Herald Mine. Jim and his crew put together a little history of the Glen Herald Mine, which is sitting on the table for anybody that would like to read it. It's an interesting story. But what's significant about today is that this motion, along with the next motion, closes the final chapter of this historic mine that has been around since the mid-1960s. And Basin, it's always serviced the Leland Olds station for Basin Electric, but Basin purchased the mine on January 1st of 1982. And continued to operate the mine until it ceased mining operations in 1993. Lands permitted for surface coal mining at the Glen Herald Mine totaled 9,432 acres, which included 7,273 acres that were subject to the post-SMACRA standards, otherwise the known as the current law, and the remaining 2,159 were subject to North Dakota's early reclamation laws that, you know, as we all know and are rather proud of, we had in place before the federal laws. So, at any rate, it's historic not only because it's an early mine that we're finally releasing the final bond release on, but the importance of this mine to the history of electric generation in our state and to the co-op movement in our region is significant. But even beyond that, I think I'd have to say as a commissioner these last 8.5, 9 years and a carrier of the portfolio, it exemplifies why we're so doggone good at it here in North Dakota. And I think it exemplifies why when the people that live on the land care about the land as much as North Dakotans care about it, that good reclamation is consistent with good mining practices. And I think there's a lot to be proud of. Dave Nielsen is with us today. That picture there is a picture I took on the final bond release inspection of some mule deer. We also saw a couple eagles that day, didn't we, Dave? And we saw a pretty active coyote and a number of other critters on a nice day here a few weeks ago, driving around the mine. At any rate, the mine has been put back as good or better. One of the things that Dave has been recognized, and this mine has been recognized a number of times, both nationally and within the state, I think it's worth stating that Glen Herald Mine received an Office of Surface Mining Excellence in Surface Mining Award in 1989 for exemplary reclamation achievements under semi-arid conditions. Dave, the long-term Glen Herald Mine Reclamation Specialist, who's with us today, won the Reclamationist of the Year Award in 1994 from the American Society of Mining and Reclamation, and I was proud on behalf of this commission to present Dave with the PSC's Award for Excellence in Surface Coal Mining and Reclamation in 2008. He kind of retired a year ago, and after today, I think, Dave, you can retire for good. Is that or something like that, whatever you do out there in Cheyenne. At any rate, it's a sort of a fun day, although I'll miss going wildlife watching on the mine now that we won't have as easy access to it. So anyway, everything's in order. Good job, Basin. Dave, congratulations, and thank you to our staff for their good work as well in seeing this through.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC2, I move the commission approve bond release number 8 for surface coal mining permit BCGH8204 held by Basin Cooperative Services for the Glen Herald Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 325 acres of land located in Section 31, T144N, R84W, Mercer County. The amount of the bond release is $801,688.23 and it will become effective April 20th, 2012 unless a formal hearing is requested. This, of course, is the final.
Second.
Final 325 acres.
Got to make it official.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, thank you for that nice slideshow, Scott and the guy.
Put that out on the web too, Scott.
KC3, I move the commission adopt the order adopting the hearing officer's March 14th, 2012 recommended findings of fact, conclusions of law and recommended order in the request of Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit for the construction of upgrades at its Granora Station in Williams County, North Dakota, case number PU 11-605.
Second.
As the motion sort of points out, this is what we're doing is adopting the order adopting the hearing officer's recommended findings of fact and conclusions of law, because we did not hear this case at hearing. This is a pretty small project by most pipeline measurements these days, and so a hearing officer handled this and the next case. What this is there were upgrades at the Granora Station, and part of what makes it somewhat smaller than others is that all of the upgrades were done on the existing footprint. Upgrades included some new piping, some a truck receipt station, some new tankage, and a number of the facilities that just increased the capacity without increasing the acres. The estimated cost of construction for the pump station upgrades is $35 million, and it's It does increase the barrels per day capacity considerably, though, for the Enbridge line from 16,800 barrels to 42,870 barrels, which is, what, guys, 26,000 barrels roughly increase in capacity, which amounts to about 130 trucks per day. And when I say 130 trucks, I'm doing my math rather quickly, so if anybody wants to argue with me, feel free. But I say trucks per day because when we often talk about trucks per day and the capacity of a new pipeline, these little upgrades really are significant in terms of trucks per day because these are the short lines. These are the things that eliminate the receipt onto the big lines, onto the big transmission lines. So oftentimes these are the little projects that make the big difference in terms of reducing truck traffic. So they had a successful hearing, I think it was February 25th, and Enbridge anticipates commencing construction in April and having the line in service by the end of this year.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And like it, KC4, I move the Commission adopt the order adopting the hearing officer's March 14th, 2012 recommended findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommended order in the request of Enbridge Pipelines North Dakota LLC for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit for the construction of its Little Muddy Connection project in Williams County, North Dakota, case number PU11606. This Little Muddy station, again, part of the same overall Enbridge system, accommodates receipt of some Bakken and Three Forks of crude oil volumes through two new points of injection, ultimately transporting the crude volumes to market via the new Little Muddy pipeline connection and then export pipeline capacity at Enbridge's Beaver Lodge loop line, which we're very familiar with, and that in turn then gets it into the main system. This project, like the last one, well, actually, this one's much cheaper. It's only $34 million, Dave, instead of $35 million. You know, it used to be when $34 million was a big number to us. But anyway, it's similar to the last one, although it includes a couple of injection points as well as some upgrades to existing pump stations. It does enable Enbridge to move an incremental 35,000 barrels per day from the trucked crude oil volumes and 20,000 per day from the new Brigham connection. So now you're talking somewhere around probably 175 trucks per day that will be able to be taken off of those roads out there. Again, they anticipate commencing construction April of this year and having it in service by the end of the year.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And KC5 was added. Oh, no, KC5. I move the Commission approve the award of a contract to TNC Drilling, Inc. in the amount of $170,500 to conduct exploratory drilling at several abandoned underground coal mines in southwestern North Dakota.
Second.
This obviously is an AML project where in mid-February our staff prepared the invitation for bid for an exploratory drilling project in areas with known underground mine workings near Belfield, Bowman, Scranton, Reeder, and New Leipzig. And drilling to locate possible underground mine voids will be conducted on road right-of-ways near homes and commercial buildings. About 32,500 feet of vertical drilling is planned. March 9th was the deadline for submitting bids. We received four bids on the project, and they range from $170,500 to $221,000, while the staff estimate was $197,500. Pretty good, staff. Way to go. Way to find it right in the middle. Lowest responsive bid was the $170,500 by TNC of Mandan. Following a review of all the bids, the notice of intent to award was issued. To announce the intent to award to TNC, the other bidders had 7 days to protest the notice of intent, but no protests were received.
All in favor?
Aye.
This one was added. KC6 was added. I move the Commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the request of Vantage Pipeline US LP for waiver of procedures and time schedules for a corridor certificate and for a route permit for the construction of approximately 79.8 miles of 10-inch liquid ethane pipeline from near Tioga to the Canada border in Williams and Divide Counties, North Dakota, case number PU11109.
Second.
As the motion states, it's about 80 miles, 10-inch liquid ethane. A line all in North Dakota in the United States. However, there's an additional, I think, about 350 miles then that, where this line will take the ethane ultimately to well into Canada. It's actually 430 miles of 10-inch to 12-inch line from Hess's gas plant at Tioga, ending near Empress, Alberta, Canada. About 80 miles, as I said, of the line will be located in North Dakota. Initial capacity of the pipeline will be 43,000 barrels per day of ethane, expandable to 60,000 barrels per day. There will be no pump stations located in the state of North Dakota. This is all greenfield and nothing exists at this point. Vantage anticipates commencing pre-construction clearing and relating activities. They anticipate construction to be completed in the summer or fall of this year. And the in-service date of the pipeline is the fourth quarter of 2012. Estimated costs, now we're talking big numbers, Dave, of the entire 430-mile pipeline is $300 million U.S. dollars, of which the estimated cost of construction within North Dakota is approximately a lowly $60 million. Everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends items in my portfolio.
Very good. Upcoming meetings are listed in the agenda. A couple of formal hearings prior to our next meeting, which is April 11th, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Friday, March 23rd, there's a hearing on One Oak Rockies Midstream LLC State Line to Riverview NGL Pipeline in Williams County. Now, in our paper record, it doesn't indicate whether that's an ALJ hearing, but it is an ALJ hearing, and that's what my calendar shows. So I was just double-checking.
Yeah, same discussion yesterday.
All right, very good. And then Tuesday, April 3rd, and this one the commission is hearing in person, 10 a.m., Enbridge Pipeline, North Dakota LLC, Berthold Station Expansion Project, and we'll be holding that hearing at the Berthold Sportsman's Club in Berthold, North Dakota. In addition, a couple of fairly important work sessions coming up before next meeting, March 22nd. At 10 a.m., we'll be having an opportunity to discuss the Montana-Dakota Utilities, Otter Tail Power Company, advanced determination of prudence on their Big Stone Air application. And on Monday, March 26th, an 11 a.m. work session dealing with MDU and their application for advanced determination of prudence and I believe a CPN and a CPCN for their 88-megawatt gas combustion turbine project at Heskett Station. With that, are there any questions?
All right, let's work back from the ethane thing.
Okay.
Okay, ethane.
Yeah.
For those of us who are who don't remember our high school and college.
Yeah,
college,
right.
Are we talking about liquefied natural gas?
It's a component of gas that is liquid. It is used in producing ethylene most often, which is used as it can be it's a petrochemical. It can be used a lot of times for ripening fruit, for example. It's a bit of acceleration for ripening produce. So it's got a pretty fair market demand. One of the great things about North Dakota produced gas is that even at $2 for natural gas, it's worth about $5.50 or $6 because of the richness of some of the liquids, and ethane is one of those liquids that has real market value. I wish I could tell you more about it, Dave, but boy,
I think it's kind of a building block for a lot of other
it is.
Products, plastics and things like that. But it has a high market value.
My brother is the doctorate in chemistry, I'll ask you. In terms of the Glen Herald mine, is this the largest mine then where reclamation has been completed?
Is that possible, Dean? I'm thinking about there's the old Indian Head, there's Gascoigne. Yeah, I mean, this is 9,000 acres.
It's the largest to date.
To date? Yeah. The rest will never be completed, so it'll probably... No, I'm just... There you have it. Yes, it is to date.
Okay.
With great optimism.
In the wind projects that you mm-hmm. approved, a lot of these are basically on hold because they don't have a start date. So basically, I'll just have you restate what is the holdup? Why are they waiting at this point?
Well, there's probably a little bit of difference in some of the cases that we had today. With regard to TC1, which is the Oliver Wind 3 LLC, NextEra Energy, who is developing that, had indicated that it was dependent on a number of factors, most of it driven by when they were able to execute a purchaser for the power that'll be produced. They didn't, at least at that time, have a sense that they'd be doing it as a purely merchant plant and selling into the market, although I don't know if they precluded that as well. They'd indicated that the existence of the production tax credit, whether it'll be around or not, will affect the timing of when the project would begin. So that's one of the issues. But it's also driven by uncertainty in the electricity market itself, which has been a little slack for the last few years. And so a number of factors, but they weren't exactly sure on a timetable. With regard to the Elite Clean Energy Project, that is just we haven't had the hearing yet. We've learned a bit about that project because we've dealt with other portions of the infrastructure in it, especially the transmission lines. That's a separate operating division of Elite, and they would develop those projects as they have buyers for them. It's a merchant plant. It's a for-profit subsidiary, not one that will be feeding into their own IOU customer base in northeast Minnesota necessarily. The NSP transmission line and switching station, that again is dependent on whether Border Winds finds a project buyer for the project. We've cited that already, and I think they continue to look for customers for that, but it'll be dependent on probably a lot of the same factors that we talked about with regard to the NextEra project.
So really the big things are production tax credit and customers.
Exactly.
Which go hand in hand, of course, because customers don't want it if it's not cheap enough to buy, and if without the production tax credit it becomes difficult to justify. On the other hand, we do have this big state to the east of us that has a mandate for a number of companies, so it does create a bit of a challenge for the utilities going forward, but we're in a little bit of a holding pattern until I think we see what the ultimate fate of the production tax credit is.
A lot of it's just the certainty of what the cost will be, right? Because if you're a utility company looking to enter a long-term purchase power agreement, and you're not exactly sure if that 2.2-cent kilowatt-hour tax credit is going to be there, you hate to jump in at this particular time, even if you feel like you're going to need the power sometime down the line. It makes it very tricky to make a call on it. So I suspect until there's some certainty around whether it will be there or not, a lot of these projects are going to be on hold.
Dave, if I could, too, our orders are good for 4 years, so there's some period of time they have, but that there is a finite end to how long they are good for.
Do you have any idea how many are approved but not the construction has not started? How much capacity is out there?
Well, we could start naming them off our head, but we might miss one. I mean, there's the Rough Rider Project in Dickey County. There's Maricourt. There is now Oliver 3. Sequoia,
Border Winds.
Border Winds, there's four. I don't know if I'm missing any. Jerry, do you?
We've had some hearings, but without orders.
So the TVA.
Oh, CPV Ashland.
Yeah.
That one that's big. Skiffy and the Burley County project up here, and then this one for Skiffy as well for buyers.
Okay. So there you go. Several hundred megawatts.
700 megawatts, yeah.
All right. Anything else? Hearing nothing, let's close this portion of the meeting. We will return at 2:15 p.m. for the administrative portion of the agenda. Thanks.